Hey Alexa, you ready for the spotlight?
You know it, Jace. Let's hope I don't f*** it up this time. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to Jace the Producer Presents The Shuffle.
One of the mysteries in life is sound explosion. Only one push and I'll give you music.
RadioCast FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new Shuffle here. My name is Jason. I am your host for the next hour as I introduce you to one of my great friends, Mr. Harry George. Now, Harry has been in radio for a very long time in a past life you might find very interesting. Without further ado, Harry George.
If we could get started, I'd like for you to let people know who you are.
Who I am? I've got three psychiatrists and three ex-wives that haven't figured that out yet. And you want to know who I am? I will tell you who most people consider who I am. I am Harry George, the one, the only, the original, accept no substitute, burned the mold and salted the ground where they buried it.
You know what? That's a really good explanation. And because I know
it
you.
It explains so much when you consider it.
It really does, because I know you, and I know how true that is. Harry, let's start off with this real quick. That's not even your name. How did Harry become your name?
Because as most those of you who know me, including Jay, that's really not my name, although it's part my name, and I'll let you guys figure out which part.
Yeah.
But, and matter of fact, after this, you'll know which part. I was, 20, probably right around there, 20, 21, and at the time I was gainfully employed in being basically a bum, spending my nights riding my bike and chasing women, and my days practicing my pool game, which is what I was doing one fine afternoon at a local club that I was a regular visitor at. And as I was setting up an eight ball to sink the eight ball, young lady at the bar answered the phone, and somebody had apparently asked for George. Well, the owner of the bar, his name was George. The guy sitting at the bar, everybody called him Porch, but his name was George. And then, of course, my name was George. Well, the young lady looked about the room, then said to the person on the other end of the phone, "Do you want the owner, do you want Torch, or do you want Harry George?"
And it stuck.
Needless to say, I had a nickname.
It stuck. I like it. I didn't know that was the story.
Oh, I swore I told. Oh, wait. Maybe I told your old lady.
Maybe. I really didn't know that. That's cool. And you've been Harry George since then, huh?
My mailman seriously believes I have a definite case of schizophrenia.
Or a doppelganger.
You know, well, you figure he knows me by my real first and last name.
Right, right.
He knows me as Harry George. H-A-R-R-Y. Then he knows me as Harry George, H-A-I-R-Y. And then he knows me as H-G and as H-G-U-S.
Right. Just tell him it's your fan club.
I just tell him it's all my brothers. My dad got stuck on the name.
I dig it. I did not know that was the story behind your name.
Yeah, you know. Everybody gets their nicknames in different and weird ways. I mean, you know, my oldest and dearest brother, in every sense other than we did not have the same mother and father, everybody calls him Lion Man. I know his real name, but everybody calls him Lion Man. One look at him will tell you why.
Harry, do you know my real name?
Not if I can help it.
How do you have me in your phone?
J-A-Y-C-E.
Perfect. Just the way I like it.
Of course. A little bit bizarre and definitely with a slight left-hand twist, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It actually bends to the right a bit. Harry, you've taken.
I don't need to know that, man. You just got to tell that to the girls you date.
and you've taken this, and you've even followed this moniker into radio, and you've been doing radio. What,
yes.
5-6 years now.
I started in radio back when I retired from my regular job. Is that at that time? It's like I said, everybody knew me as Harry George, so. It's actually been more along the lines of about 12 years on and off. I became, when I went into internet radio, which is about 8 years ago, it's always been Harry George and the Usual Suspects.
And you've been following that, well, you've been doing that now for for 8 years, you said.
I believe it's about 8 years now.
Harry, if I could have the pleasure of knowing if you remember or not, what is the earliest song that you can remember? Because here on my show, I like to interview people, but I also like to try to get to know people through their musical playlist. So if there's one song, maybe your earliest memory song that you can remember, what would that song be?
First song, I can actually tell you that, believe it or not. And there's a whole story tied to that, too. The first song I actually remembering, if you will, in other words, I heard it more than a few times, was Hank Williams' You're Cheating Hard.
You're cheating hard will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep. But sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. When tears come down like falling rain, you'll toss around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
It was a popular tune for my dad. My dad liked the song. My first tune as a tune claiming it as myself, this is my tune, would be Just Dropped In by the First Editions.
Bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Was in someone painted April Fool and big black letters on a dead end sign. I had my foot on the gas as I left the road and blew out my mind. 8 miles out of Memphis and I got no spare. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I said I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. So you mentioned that you had a real job, a former job, if you will. Would you like to discuss what that was?
First and foremost, the shocker of all of this, folks, is I actually have an education. I have a bachelor's degree in political science. And but my very first job, per se, as you know, I graduated, I got my degree. My first job out of college, and pretty much my only job out of college, is I was a licensed legislative agent for the second largest motorcycle rights group here in the state of Ohio. A legislative agent, for those of you who don't know the fancy term, that's the one that most of the pundits and television people call a lobbyist.
That's the word.
So that's the word. And you spit when you say that. That's mandatory or required or something. I've had more than a little sputum put on my boots by people who weren't real happy about that.
So. For those of us who are unfamiliar with the political atmosphere, what exactly was your job?
I advocated positions for the motorcyclists of my organization and by extension the motorcyclists of the state of Ohio. Now, in my case, as I said, I was fortunate to be able to do so with a national organization that is headquartered here in Ohio. That's the American Motorcyclist Association. I used to work with Ed and everybody, you know, Ed Youngblood and all the boys and girls from back in that time frame. And basically what I did, you know, was I presented our side on issues that concerned us, motorcycle safety, motorcycle rights per se, and tort reform, or one that I'm very happy about. Matter of fact, I'm very happy about was the getting handicapped motorcycle plates available. So, you know, but I represented them here, and then I also represented the organization in Washington on national issues like EPA, discrimination, of highway access, all kinds of stuff.
I remember actually talking about that with you one day and where I almost got myself a ticket for parking in the hash marks of a handicapped spot. And the fact that I multiple times a year will deal with either people hitting my bike or almost hitting my bike because they can't see me behind a big vehicle, and then they run off where I don't have a safe place to park.
Yeah, I'm aware of that type of stuff. I had a gentleman one time who apparently took umbrage on the fact that my motorcycle had a handicap plate on it. We were sitting at a red light. He was honking at me and gesticulating at a parking lot for a rather large chain store who would like to go through the rest of their existence anonymously, so we'll leave it at that. But the gentleman had the temerity, the balls, the cojones, the real serious personality issues to bump me on my motorcycle.
Ooh, bad idea.
Yeah, it wasn't real good. So I turned off my motorcycle. I actually put it on a kickstand. I went to the driver's side of the car to rip this man out of his car and basically, to be honest, beat him to death or any close facsimile thereof that I could get to. Unfortunately, it turned out that he was 3 days older than dust. You know, so you really can't beat up a guy like that. So still being somewhat angered by what he had done, I just beat up his car.
You burned that right.
I thought so.
Yeah.
You know, I had to laugh, though. One of my good friends who was working at a local FM radio station, and he loves to tell the story, he got a phone call from somebody who knew me and said, "You're never going to believe what I'm watching right this second." And this gentleman said, "Well, what could it possibly be?" He said, man, Harry George is beating up a Mercury. And my friend being my friend, he asked a very simple question. Who's winning?
Yeah, well, it appeared, you know, they took the car to a dealership where I had another good friend of mine work.
He called me up once the car got there.
Said to, you know, I said, hey, I remember a couple of weeks ago, you were like beating up on a car in a parking lot. What color was it? And I told him. He said, and it was a big fancy Mercury. I said, yeah, why? He said, well, I'm looking at it right now. And I'm like, you're kidding. And he goes, no, man. I said, well, tell me, man. I mean, you know, how much is it going to cost to fix it? He said, you know, you're not going to believe this, dude, but you did a little over $7,000 worth of damage to the car.
That's pretty.
I was really happy about that.
So between radio and being a legislator, what have you done in the interim? What have you done in between that has made you who you are today?
I'm not sure that any one thing could be attributed to what made me what I am today. You know, I've always enjoyed being the camaraderie and spirit that goes with the motorcycle scene. I've been all over the country to every major rally you could think of. And of course, in my own show, I've had the opportunity to call, you know, get to know some people and call them friends, like Richard Young from the Kentucky Headhunters. Richard's a really good person. I love him to death. John Fred from Blackstone Cherry, who is Richard's son. Cherokee from the Vicious Cycle Band, one of the greatest, matter of fact, the greatest Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band in the entire world. And, you know, Mike Ballard from out there at Full Throttle, you know, Angie, his wife. When Angie was having her baby, I gave her a present from me and my co-host of the show at the time. We gave her a Sugar Skull onesie. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, that's just, you know, I just like the whole, you know, the whole vibe that goes with belonging, you know, goes with hanging out with the guys and going to the events, man. It's just, it's enlightening and lifting. You know, I don't know how to, there's probably several more adjectives I could think of, but it's just a good time. A song that explains Harry George or the style of Harry George. They're coming to take me away.
This is Jeff Mamet, and you are tuned in to the Harry George and the Usual Suspects show. Rocking and talking the motorcycle world and beyond with the best rock, blues, country, mayhem, and more.
Well, you are free anyhow. The days got worse and worse, and now you see you've gone completely.
So you were mentioning earlier with your radio show some of the people that you've met. What would you say is one of the highlights of your show?
I love the interview I did with Richard Young just after they got back from their very first European tour. Because, I mean, Richard and crew had absolutely refused to fly for years and years and years and years and years and years. And finally, John Fred talked him into going over to England. And Richard was like, you know, I can't believe the type of crowds are over here. They're like huge and they love us. And they can't believe they're actually getting to finally hear us live for the first time. And, you know, just feeling the energy and everything that came off of Richard, you know what was driving him to continue on with the Kentucky Headhunters and everything.
You know, I am curious, how are you dealing with this whole social distancing thing?
It's not a real stretch for me, dude.
I know. I was going to say, I mean, I know you like to frequent your favorite places most of the time. I was going to say every now and then, but it's really most of the time. And it's got to be a little bit difficult when you can't go out and hang out.
Well, that's why I built a still, Jace. Oh, basically speaking, I don't really got to go anywhere. Although over the last few days, of course, like so many people, you know, I've been a little more than leery about what's going on and what could go on and everything. So I've been taking inventory as it were, and making sure that everything is in good working order. That's a good way to put that.
That is a good way to put that. And you know, maybe it's a strange question to ask you. Maybe it's probably just going to be a solid no. But are you a conspiracy theorist?
Oh, I don't believe in conspiracies at all.
Okay, good.
I really don't.
Then we're on the
same. Well, no, because you know, the real life is way more fucked up, dude.
And that's a true story.
You know, you don't. I don't need to say, oh, they're, you know, they're whatever, because I already know they're doing, you know, being a lobbyist and a legislative agent or whatever term you want to use, you get an opportunity to see the workings of government in a much, you know, much closer manner than your average citizen. And you realize that, in fact, it isn't a conspiracy theory. There are things that they will do that you probably wouldn't be real happy with if you really knew what they were doing.
But do you encourage the transparency, or do you encourage cognitive dissonance and ignorance is bliss?
You know, it's a real truth, Dave. You know, when people say, you know, everything's a little bit different each time, every 4 years, 8 years, whatever. I mean, with our previous president, Mr. Obama, President Obama, the man for the most part was very straightforward with the American public, didn't tap dance anywhere near as much as, oh, say, Gerald Ford or someone of that nature. And currently, you know, IQ 45 is like a real serious fuck up, man. So
that's why it surprised me, because you have a history in government, and not that you know, because of your history in government that you have to trust them or believe everything that they say. But I thought that you would have a little bit more encouragement for government because of your previous job.
I believe that any small group of dedicated citizens can change the world if they really want to. That is, in fact, my own personal belief. The unfortunate thing is how many people choose to follow whatever current Pied Piper there may be in charge at the present time. You know, there are serious people. I have had the honor and privilege of working with people that truly define what the word statesman means. John McCain, John Kasich, Bill Clinton, to laugh as you will. You know, people of that type and nature. Patrick Monaghan, probably one of the greatest Irish Democrats ever to come down the pike, but Patrick, or even Bob Dole, a serious conservative in more ways than one, let's be honest. But when it came to understanding the things that motorcyclists were interested in and everything, Bob had an absolute grasp on it. And more than that, he supported what we were looking to do. And so you have to look through my lens here in this respect that the guys that I dealt with, I based them on how they were supporting the issues that I was concerned for and concerned about. So
now, when you are lobbying for these particular things, and when you are working to push this legislation for not only your rights but the rights of everybody around you, is there a particular song that kind of gets you pumped up?
Almost Cut My Hair. And if you think about it, it'll come to you why. And if you don't think about it, I'm not going to try to explain it to you. That or We Won't Get Fooled Again. Those, you know, quite literally, We Won't Get Fooled Again is like my battle cry when I'm involved in legislation.
To
Hey, this is Harry George from the Harry George and the Usual Suspects show, and we'll be back right after this.
If you have a pet, you know how difficult it can be to handle business. Ranger Rob's pet poopy bags are number one and the number two business. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are easy to manage with handles, and they're extra wide. These bags will accommodate pets of any size. With 120 per box, that's about a 2-month supply. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are made from biodegradable material that make it effortless and easy to make knots so that you do not have to touch the business. The box even transforms into a handy dispenser. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are even lemon scented. They are made big enough for even the largest of dogs and thick enough to ensure that there is no mess. They're also great for cat litter boxes. Simply place your hand in the bag, pick up the waste, and reverse the bag over your hand and tie. Head over to RangerRobShop.com for more information on Ranger Rob's pet poopy bags. Welcome to DJ Chino, TSP.com, home of DJ Chino and Top Sprint Productions, a premier mobile DJ service that is fully licensed and insured. Top Sprint Productions has packages to accommodate all your services and needs, including lighting and a photo booth. DJ Chino specializes in services for weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, holiday parties, corporate events, church functions, quinceañeras, or any event that you just want to make special. You can call DJ Chino at 347-538-4344. That's 347-538-4344. DJ Chino and Topspin Production has servicing areas such as Delaware, Maryland, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and New York. You can find DJ Chino and Topspin Productions on all of your social media at DJ Chino TSP on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or at DJChinoTSP.com. Book DJ Chino today at 347-538-4344. That's 347-538-4344. DJ Chino and Topspin Productions, we make your events memorable.
This is your new Best Friends podcast, a weekly podcast that caters to you, the listener.
Tabby, I'm sick.
Battery packed laser tank, yep, so we don't die.
Pool. Okay, there you go.
With floaties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my day.
I wasn't prepared to take criticism from a pear-shaped dictator, but...
And why are your pants still on?
That would have been a not my finest moment. Just like a random seed comes out of my shirt. Thought I swallowed this. You physically blew the crotch out?
A testicles found the aftermath of the blowout.
You are on a roll today. Get this guy some ketchup and mustard, because is he a hot dog? It's a good motivator.
Yeah,
it's enough to get you the fuck up out of there.
Want to be part of the show? Write in at ynbfpodcast@yahoo.com or call us at 707-461-0706.
New music now. Loading up more music.
The hits are on.
Hi, it's Eddie Goldie.
I'm Diplo.
What's up, guys? It's Khalid.
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's Normani.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Holly.
Star Hit 1 FM.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
I want to talk about your radio show. Going on now.
Sure.
6-7 years.
7 years.
7 years that you've been going on. And... I mean, you've done quite a bit. You even have people making things for you, your elixir, which is pretty damn neat, if I could say so myself. Of course,
you
are a huge fan of Jack Daniels, which...
Absolutely. That's a family thing, dude. You know, because, I know I told you this, but my grandfather and my great-grandfather were like coal miners and steel workers and stuff. And we're talking back when things were rough, okay? And so, like, especially my great-grandfather, the coal miner. So both of them were involved in the pedestrian alcoholic distribution thing, right? I developed a real fondness for really well-made moonshine, okay? But my grandfather always said one thing. There was only one liquor... one government liquor that was allowed in my grandfather's house, and that was Jack Daniel's. And he drank it neat. You know, I like other bourbons, but my two drinks of choice are my moonshine and Jack Daniel's.
And not only that, if we ever watch your live show, because you do your show live, of course, you're on Spreaker, you're on iHeartRadio, and you are also on Periscope, so people can watch a live studio view. And we get to see, or at least we did over Christmas. I haven't checked the Periscope in a while. But we get to see a skeleton there.
Peter J. Wolfenstein.
That's right. I knew he had a full name.
Peter J. Wolfenstein, in an earlier existence, was a functioning coyote. He's not really a functioning coyote anymore.
No, he's not.
Where he is, however, a delightfully entertaining skeleton.
Where did you acquire such a thing?
Actually, it's a studio prop of some sort that one of the local chain stores was selling for Halloween. So it's not really a real coyote, but it is a skeleton of a coyote.
It's certainly fun to look at, and it has the shock value that you're looking for, because when you turn on your stream, you're like, oh shit, there's a skeleton there. I think you killed it. But it definitely,
I get people all the time thinking, why is that skeleton wearing an American flag bandana? Because I want him to. He looks good in it.
Or you took that off and you put the Santa Claus hat on him, and that was amazing to look at.
We did dress him as a Santa Claus one.
Should have given him the red nose and called him the dog from the Grinch.
No doubt. There we go. From Nightmare on... No, we could have called him the one from Nightmare on Elm Street, or Nightmare on Christmas. Nightmare Before Christmas, or whatever they called him.
Yeah. And let's see, you've traveled with your show. You just recently came back from Bike Week. How was that?
Yeah, Daytona was a rock, man. Of course, I got to be like almost on ground zero where all this nonsense got kicked off, man, with this current COVID-19 stuff going on.
Yeah, well, didn't a portion of Bike Week get canceled, or was I misunderstanding that?
You know, it was interesting that in the city, within the city limits itself of Daytona, the mayor decided to, while not fully cancel Bike Week, the remaining weekend of Bike Week, and it was the last couple of days, he did remove all these street vendors. They lost their permits, and they were asked to, you know, pack up and go. But the regular people down there, including my good friend George, who invited me down from Chrome Cigars, they invite, you know, they the actual businesses, Full Moon, the banks, the Doghouse, Boot Hill, of course, the Moon Saloon, those places all still were there.
You know, I'm starting to see a pattern here. You have a lot of friends named George, don't you?
Yeah, I have no fucking idea how that happened. I really don't.
I have an idea, because in a drunken stupor, they're easier to remember.
Well, I'm really kind of concerned one time, because I looked at my family tree, and in my family tree, there are more Georges than anything else.
Really?
I'm George. My uncle's name is George. His son's name was George. His son's son's name is George. So, you know, it gets a little bizarre after a while. When you went to one of our family picnics and somebody said George, you had a whole bunch of people going, what the fuck do you want?
I believe that. I do. I totally believe that. That's the funny part. And
So,
of course, you have plenty of sponsors for your show. Los Gallos and places, you know, I think.
And those things change. Those things kind of change on a regular basis.
Of course.
Because, you know, people decide that, you know, their circumstances change, or they're looking for a different clientele. You know, it's any of 100 things. I mean, honestly, if you're getting into internet radio now and you don't have the ability, you know, you've got a great music playlist, you know, you've got a wonderful freaking personality, man. You've already got a good basis, either through you've locally DJed or whatever, of people following you. But if you don't got salesmanship in your blood, you're fucked, man.
Well, I think one of the many reasons why I like your show is because every time I'm listening, I hear another commercial for a food place.
Right. True enough. And the last biggest thing, and you know this as well as I do, One of the things that you definitely require if you're going to be getting involved in internet radio, which is so much fun, and I'm well past it in the way of being called young in any way, shape, or form. And I every day every time I do a show, it's a blast for me to dig up new songs and old songs and all that kind of stuff like that. But if you don't have a good stream or a stream that's active and promoting, I'm currently affiliated, which I believe your show is as well, with iRadio USA.
That's right.
And I mean, the guy that takes care of that, Eric Koppelman, while on occasion being something of a dick, but he already knows that. Yeah. I mean, hey, look, he's always telling me shit he wants. I figured I'd, you know, let's call a spade, right? But
it's funny how much shit he'll talk when he's on the phone with you. But when you popped up
in
the studio, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that was probably one of the greatest faces I've ever seen in my entire life. When he looked up and saw my previous host, Kelly, walking through the door, and then what came in behind her, which was me. I've never seen a guy turn that white who was already that white.
So rapidly, so quickly.
Yeah, man, the blood must have dropped to his toes so fast. It was like an express elevator.
It was so amazing. Yeah. I mean, I knew you were coming, so I knew that there was a surprise coming. And the minute you had flown in that morning, or was it the night before?
The night before. We'd come in the night before.
You flew in the
night. We came in. We were actually invited not by the show, the main host, which was Eric, but the co-host. We said, you guys have got to come. And I'm like, sure, you know, what the hell? We ain't never been up there. Let's go up and check it out, right? You know, and so Kelly and I showed up and everything. He had no idea.
None.
Literally, how we managed to keep him in the dark right up until the second we walked through the door is in and of itself an amazing piece of work.
Yes, it was. And I just, of course, he's like, oh, wow, what a beautiful lady that just walked in. Holy shit, there's some, oh, my God.
Yeah, I loved it, man. It was a good time.
And
I scared half the guests in the damn studio, man. They're like, oh, my God, what did Eric let through the door?
I mean, let's be honest. You're no skinny dude that wears, you know, a denim jacket. You are
6'2", almost 6'3".
Depending on what convenience store you're leaving, right?
Right. You know, it depends on how they mounted the tape. So,
right. So you are 6'2". You're not a skinny dude. You're a big guy. You know, well fed.
Yeah, I weigh about 270 pounds, dude.
Yeah. So you're well fed, really fucking tall, and you have a beard down your fucking belly button.
Most of the time. Right now, it's about the middle of my chest. So.
Okay, you cleaned it up a bit.
Our governor declared all the barbershops and beauty parlors around here to be non-essential businesses, so he closed them.
Right, you guys are on a lockdown right now, right?
Right. So I went and it was actually quite a good thing. I went and got a trim the day before. So
not here, we're not.
No, now most people know you're in. You broadcast your show out of the federal, you know, the federal area, right?
No, they don't.
Oh, don't they?
No, they don't.
Would anybody like it? If anybody's got a bone to pick with him, I can get you his address. Get hooked up with me, man.
Great. Thank God I'll be editing this part out.
Chicken shit.
That's it. I'm fucking happy. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, I don't know why I'm losing. Well, just look who's keeping score. I got a bourbon preaching sermon telling me how I should think. While they're busy counting backwards, yeah, you're busy counting sheep. I know I'm never going to save the world.
curious if your past in legislation or if your present activities in internet radio has provided you any benefits, of course, other than your, you know, your sponsorships. Has anybody went, oh shit, you're Harry George, never mind?
No, it's actually, it's really, really odd. And I think we had this conversation, I don't know, probably about a year back. One of the things that I had noticed as I spent more time in the internet radio situation, and it became very in my face when we went to the Lone Star Rally in Galveston, Texas last year, where people were coming up to me and going, I know you, man. You're Harry George. We're friends on Facebook. And you got to look at these people and go, well, thank you. Know, hey, how you doing? What's up? He said, yeah, man, don't you know I'm one of your friends? Dude, your picture's a quarter of an inch tall. Fuck no, I don't even know who you are.
Hey, we're friends on Facebook. And you go, why the fuck did I do that?
Yeah. You know, I have quite a large group of friends between my pages for the show and my personal pages and stuff. And, you know, people on Facebook. And with the current, you know, it's been a lot of good, I've had a lot of good times since the 2016 elections, because I'm not a real big fan of IQ 45. And, you know, I do tend to attract some people who are not really articulate or real thoughtful about it, but real loud about what they, what they think of me. So,
yeah, well,
people come, people go.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
they do. That they certainly do. I think the only recognition I get is whenever I walk in the house and the dog starts wagging a tail and the kids go, Dad. That's about the only recognition I get.
Then they're saying that to the dog. That's the problem I'd worry about.
Yeah, yeah, that is a problem. And, you know, it's funny to me because I think every once in a while somebody will go, hey, I caught your show the other day. And I went, really? You didn't have anything better to do?
Yeah. You know, like I did a couple of, I was in Daytona. I avail myself a lot of Facebook Live because it kind of brings the immediacy of where you're at. You know, and when I was over at my friend's cigar shop, what a great time we had in there, man. I mean, it's just kind of cool. People are like standing around and they're like, wow, this is like all these people are listening to this and everything like that. And, you know, the thing is, you got to be willing to understand that you're probably not dragging in as many people as, you know, I don't know, Weird Al Yankovic or anything like that. But you can tell when you're starting to have an effect that people are looking for you, because more people are following you around, as I noted, or more people are asking to become your friends, you know, or wanting to join your page. It starts to get interesting. The first couple of years, especially in internet radio, it's definitely a leap of faith when you first do it, because I've been a DJ in bars for a couple of years since I retired from my regular job. You know, I'm going to go, I got a great list of, you know, great stash of music. And I think that, you know, I'm tired of listening to the same 20 oldies tunes that all the corporate radios are putting on. I know everybody else in the world's tired of it too. And I'm going to start my own internet show. And, you know, there's a lot of people with that very same thought. Some of them who should probably never have it. And some of them who I'm real glad that they did, because they kind of showed me the way of things. So it's a tough decision to make. I've never regretted it. Although, like I said, with the first couple of years, it was like, Jesus Christ, if I get more than two people listening to this show a week, I'll be fucking dancing in the streets.
Well, not only that, but of course, you know, as you mentioned, it's a labor of love, but it's also it's a huge passion project. You know, you have to be dedicated to sticking to this.
Yeah, well, beyond that, it's a passion that costs money.
Yeah, this is very...
If you're going to do beyond the basic, I'm going to stick a microphone into something and do a little podcast. If you're going to do something beyond that, you figure in the time frame that I've been doing this show, I went from having, I don't know, maybe 500 gigabytes of music, and that was enough to adequately supply anything that I did, you know, as a DJ. to right now, I've got 40 terabytes of music.
It goes a long way. It really does show. Like, holy crap. Like, look at the dedication that's behind this, number one, right? But number two, I mean, look at what just a simple microphone, a personality, and just having some good conversation and good music can do. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining me and partaking in this with me. And letting me get to know you through your musical playlist.
Stay tuned, brothers and sisters. The producer may have a rather interesting little story for you soon.
That's right. Harry, George, and I have had some discussions, and there may be some additional changes and modifications to a show where I may be able to chat with you for a bit.
Every once in a while.
Looking forward to that, Harry. Once again, thank you very much for joining me. This is Harry, George, and the Usual Suspects. You'll hear at the end where you can hear them. Harry, I think in of course, Harry, George fashion, I'm going to end this show with your favorite song. Would you like to introduce it?
Here's my good friend, Lizzie. The boys from Hailstorm. Little tune called Here's to Us. We'll catch you next time. Till then, peace. We're out.
We could just go home right now. Or maybe we could stick around for just one more drink. Oh, yeah. Get another bottle out. Let's shoot the shit. Sit back down for just one more drink.